Brilliant. Well, it's lovely to be here. I'm surprised you didn't all dress like me, but that's all right. You don't have to. I mean, you can if you want, but you don't have to. The team we were with, one of the joys of, for me anyway, of going to Uganda was that we went with a church that were going, oh great, the English are here to save us. There was none of that. We're here as Ugandan Christians, do what God has called us to do. You can join in if you want. That's much better, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, not the old imperialistic, come on, let's go and save some black people. Actually, I was saying to them, you know, in the next 2 years, a quarter of all British Christians will be black or ethnic minority. That means we need Ugandan missionaries and pastors coming our direction, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, the gospel went out in many ways during the kind of the missionary age from Britain and Northern Ireland, and it needs to come back. It needs to come back. And, you know, these guys have got issues and all sorts of difficulties, but they are red hot for Jesus. I'll tell you what my little phrase about you can't do everything, but you can do something. It was alive in front of us. Because, you know, we didn't go with loads of money. People were very generous to us across Britain, giving us cash to take. But we didn't have enough to build something, but we could do something. And it was just a brilliant thing to see, actually, just taking a little of what God has given you, what he can and do with that, and just the change in us, which is what mission is all about, actually. It's great to go and bless people, but you know what, really? It's about what the Holy Spirit does in you, to change you, for your neighbourhood, for your place. So, just fantastic. I might mention it once or twice again as we move on. Anyway, we're looking at God's songbook. We're somewhere in between that fantastic King's Chronicles stuff we did and Christmas. Can I say Christmas now? Yeah. Look at the person next to you. Just say Christmas. Let's get out of the way, shall we? Christmas. There we go. So Christmas is coming, and we're like, what shall we do in those few weeks between these two things? Christmas is going to be awesome at the Lane, by the way. It's going to be amazing. But in between, we know God is still speaking. So we're having a little look at God's songbook, looking at the Psalms. And the Psalms are such an important piece of Christian literature from its ancient Jewish roots right to the 21st century. God has sung this song over his church. And if you've never delved into the Psalms, let me encourage you to do that. One of the things about a third of the Psalms are woe is me. Where are you, God? When life is difficult. They're not all Jesus saves, whoop, whoop, whoop. There's loads of pain and difficulty. That's useful, isn't it? Because most of us go through pain and difficulty. Did I say most of us? All of us. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So this morning we're going to tackle one of the biggies. I think it is one of the pieces of scripture that your pagan neighbours, your non-Christian friends still know. You know, once upon a time, that would have been John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. But the bloke with the poster with the football has disappeared. Have you noticed that? The John 3:16 guy is gone. But still, if you go to a funeral, and you do, and some of us go to more than others, don't we? Okay. I wasn't being ageist, it's just reality, isn't it? What gets read consistently at funerals is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And in my mind, Psalm 23 is the biggie, if you like. It is the biggie of Scripture. It is certainly the biggie of the Psalms. And often we shy away from that as preachers. We think, oh, I don't know if I can do that one because it is so familiar. I visited somebody in hospital this week and they said, I didn't know that was Psalm 23. But I know it. That's interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Someone with a vague Christian kind of connection. So let's read Psalm 23. I'd like us to read it together. We don't often do this, but I'd like us to read it together. We'll use this version. Those of you who've got multiple versions in your head, it's going to confuse you. But it's all right. We're going to read from the screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a cracker, isn't it? Hey, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know whether you use scripture in your life. Those of you who've known me a long time, this is my favourite dentist psalm. I hate the dentist. If you are a dentist, Jesus loves you, I know. But I have had terrible dental stuff all through my life. And in fact, I was walking around Uganda giving sweets out, feeling quite guilty. I'll just set you up with dental plan, love. There you go, there's some chewies. Terrible. And I am phobic. I'm not afraid of anything. Come on! Except that woman in a white coat with a needle. Terrifying! And I'm sitting there in my head going, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. It's my dentist, Sam. You haven't got a dentist, Sam, you can have mine if you like. Or there are others. But this psalm is more than just a meditation for the dentist, and it is more than just a reading for death. In fact, it is not about death. You know, we focus on the valley of the shadow of death, but that is a place of life. Because as David writes this psalm, he is alive, isn't he? So he's saying, I'm in the valley, but I'm still alive. And where there's life, there's hope, right? Yeah. So this is a psalm of life, of hope. It's a psalm for us. In the early church, the psalms were so important in their songwriting and in their worship. We don't do anything new here. You know, we might think we're quite cutting edge, trendy, you know, especially in our fashions, obviously. But the church has sung songs to Jesus its whole history. Why? Because the Jews have sung songs to the Lord Yahweh their whole history. And in the early church, we know that they wrote new songs. Paul says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There you go. You've got a list of three options there. Take your pick. But we know they sang the psalms. And we know for a fact that Jesus knew his psalms. And in my little inserts for God's songbook over the next few weeks, I'm going to be thinking about how this impacts on Jesus' ministry. Because I think that's fascinating. If you think about Jesus, fully human, fully God, the one that we follow, the one we look up to, reciting Psalm 23 like you've done this morning. That's awesome, that, isn't it? And here's Jesus in John chapter 10. Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. He says it three or four times. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He's been reading Psalm 23 in his quiet time. Absolutely, 100% he has. John doesn't tell us that, but you can tell. Jesus has been reading. He's been meditating on because the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus, throughout John's gospel, is showing himself to be the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. If you have the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and tell you that Jesus never claimed to be divine, once you stop laughing, once you stop going, oh, come on, even in their Bible, which they've messed about with, just open John's gospel, honestly. Let me just give you a little bit of ammunition here. Just open John's gospel. Time after time after time, Jesus says and Jesus does God things. Consistently. And here is one of them. I am the good shepherd. What does Psalm 23, who does Psalm 23 say the shepherd is? Yahweh. You know those names of God? You might have done one of those in the church that you grew up in, if you did grow up in a church where they talk about all the different names of God. Yahweh, Roy, Jehovah, Roy. I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. God says, I am the good shepherd. What does that do to your view of Jesus? Tells you who he is, doesn't it? Tells you who he is. When your Jehovah's Witness friends knock on the door, bless them, pray for them, show them John 10, they will boycott you for at least 3 years. They just walk past my house now. I'm going, come on! Go and talk, I'm going to talk to you. You know something. Church, let's not be ignorant of what scripture says. When people just pop up and say, it doesn't say that, I say, let's have a look at that, shall we? I am the good shepherd. I am a good shepherd. We don't have many farmers. In fact, have we got any farmers in our congregation? We're totally removed, aren't we, from farming? We're totally removed from it, especially in Liverpool. We haven't got a clue. Laura about saving a chicken, right? Because Laura saved a chicken. We were buying soap, and Pastor David wouldn't let us go in the soap shop because they charged the Mzungu, the white people, more. So we were left outside at the butcher's. The first butcher's store was a hunk of beef hanging with the world's collection of flies hanging around it. And then the next bit of the butcher's shop was just a big cage of live hens and a lady sitting there going, which one you want? I'll have that one. And a couple of blokes around the back, actually around the front, going, there you go. Honestly, super speedy butchery. But we've been removed from that, haven't we? You go to Tesco and it's got a little polystyrene tray. Isn't it smiling? There's no blood, is there? There's no horror. There's no our vegetarian friend Laura going, I'm going to rescue one. Which she did. Brilliant. We don't see it. But you go anywhere in the two-thirds world, you see shepherds all the time. You see shepherds all the time. Or you certainly see their creatures. We're walking around a piece of the city. We're in the middle of Camp Harbour. You know, we were in, if you think about Camp Harbour as a city, we were in the garden of Camp Harbour. We weren't out in the countryside. We were in the city. And quite a few times there's these huge bulls with massive horns walking up the middle. There's goats everywhere, there's chickens everywhere. You don't always see the shepherd, but he's there, or she's there, driving them or leading them. There is shepherds, and throughout Scripture there is this idea that God is the shepherd of his people. That he has not given up on you. That he wants to guide you and bless you and lead you and take you somewhere. So what sort of shepherd is he? He is God. Good. He is good. God is good. All the time?
All the time.
God is good. You might be in the valley of the shadow of death. You might be in the place of abject misery. Divorce, cancer, death of a loved one. Those things are not good. They are not good. And it is the foolish pastor that says they are. And it's a foolish pastor that says you're going through that because of something in your life. No, you're going through that because life. But God is good in the middle of what we face. God is good in the valley of the shadow of death. He will not leave you. He will not let you down. The good shepherd chases after us. He chases after us. I've become aware of a debate about a Christian song. Now, I have a theory about Christian songs, right? Modern Christian songs. Forgive me for saying this, but the crap soon disappears. It does. And sometimes we sing these songs and you just think, oh, Jesus is my girlfriend again. And you'll get pastors who ban them. Well, I'm a child of the 80s. If you ban a song, it goes straight to number one, doesn't it? Frankie Goes to Hollywood, terrible song. We ban it. Fantastic. Economics. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit goes, yeah, kick that in a touch. You know, Paul and the team started with a song that's over 1,000 years old, our worship. Why has that stayed around? Because it's good, right? Was this song called Reckless Love that we sometimes sing? Over the, I don't know any other words, oh, the really, really fantastic, never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God. And I've heard that some pastors won't let people sing it because they say God is not reckless. And I think they're mental. Because he's got me as a pastor. How is that not reckless? I said crap this morning twice now. How is that not reckless? Look at yourself. Jesus came after you. How is that not reckless? He's called you to be his people, to be his missionaries wherever you go, to represent him. You! I mean, look at the bloke next to you and say, you! In all of you, in all of your sinfulness, John says, don't claim to be without sin. You make yourself out to be a liar. It's a little bit of a religious joke, but isn't it? I'm not sinful, are you lying? God is reckless in his love for us. He's abandoned in his love for us. Surely goodness and love, I like the KJV here, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Who was that behind me? It's goodness and mercy. Once you spend 2 days in Uganda giving sweets out, you've got a little trail of people. But they are little people, but they're going, goodness sweets. If you spread out a bit, you see them, they've got a handful of sweets from Laura in one hand, they've got a handful of sweets from Andy in the other, the mouth's full of somebody else, they're going, sweets, mister. They're following you. What is following you? Sometimes we feel like we have been followed by some awful curse. Sometimes we feel like we've been followed by disaster over and over again. And if that is you, I believe Jesus can break that curse in your life. Because what Psalm 23 is, the good shepherd, he follows you with goodness and mercy.
That's right.
Isn't that good? What is following you? What is following you? We need to receive. We need to stop and let God catch up, don't we? We go off on our own stuff sometimes. We go off on our own ways sometimes. And we're going, God, why aren't you blessing this? Because we have the choice not to go there in the first place. And yet he doesn't say, when you go off on your own way, I stop following you. He follows us with mercy. He follows us with love. He follows us. This is who God is. This is who God is. He is the good shepherd. That's who he is. But his desire for you is goodness. His desire for the world is goodness. You know, I know that God gets angry. I know that he does. I know that he gets angry about sin. I know that he gets very angry about paedophilia. I know he gets very angry about anything that stops children coming to him. He gets really angry about that stuff. But at his ontological core, bit of philosophy for you, he is not anger. At his ontological core, he is love. He is love. John Piper says, the fact that goodness and mercy is God's... The fact that goodness and mercy is God's prevailing tendency, the dominant inclination of his heart, the very love and passion of his soul. We have a God who chases after us. We have a God who is kind. He is kind. Incredible. Is it like your hat? I've got a massive head, as they say in Newcastle. Massive. Really big. I'm an XXL crash helmet wearer. I've got a big head. Lots of brains, you see. I've got Pete on a special delay. I'm walking around this hospital wing. Anybody involved in infection control, you would not like it. We're walking around this hospital wing. 24 years since I've been nursing, and I'm already going, oh, I didn't wash my hands 15 times, and we haven't. A big team of us, half Mzungu, half Ugandan, and we're split into teams of two or three, and we're just going bed by bed. Always with a Lugandan speaker so they can translate if people need that. Lots of people speak English. And we're just praying for people. We're giving them a little present of some soap and some toilet roll because there's nothing in the hospital. Hospital's new, it's 3 years old. Looks like Hartlepool General. I think they've bought the blueprints, honestly. Looks like a general hospital anywhere in the world. Anywhere in Britain, anyway. And it is a major hospital. People come from Tanzania and Rwanda and all over Uganda to come to this hospital. And it's a mess. And we're walking bed by bed. It's a six-bed bay and there's 12 people in it, 12 beds in it. And you're speaking to the first person and they're there because they've got burn injuries. And the next person's got sickle cell and the next one's got TB. And I'm like, yeah. I'm spotting the nurses and doctors going, what? Not isolation, no. Not isolation. TB. I'm like, did you say TB? You said TB. Okay. I'm just going to pray for you, breathing out the whole time. It's like that. It's like that. And I prayed for this lady, Margaret. She's an old lady. She's probably 60, but she looks like an old lady. She's frail. I can't tell you what's wrong with her because of patient confidentiality. Sorry, I thought it was funny. Anyway. So I've chatted to her a little bit, and she's got this lovely hat on. And the hat's all got embroidered flowers on it. I'm a pastor, you might not have noticed. But I've kind of got the spiel. So you go and see somebody in hospital, and you just have a little chat to her. Great to see you. How are you doing? I'm a pastor from England. I love your hat. Isn't that lovely? And get to pray for her. Pray for healing. Pray that God will bless them. Give her a little present, myself and one of the pastors from the church. And Sarah, Pastor Sarah and I, we walk around and we visit the other people. And as we come back, this lady's called Margaret, she calls me over. And she gets another little hat out of her bag and wants to give me a hat. I mean, she's got nothing. She's got nothing. And it's like, God is so kind. God is, and I'm saying, I can't take your hat. And she's like, you can, mate. Because I'm giving it to you. It wasn't exactly a phrase, but God is so kind. When kindness comes your way, say yes. When kindness comes your way, say yes. Lots of us are so bound up with pride that we can't take what people are offering us. What is God offering you today? Take it. He is kind. The good shepherd is kind. His kindness follows us. His kindness is for us. Don't let us get bogged down in these circumstances. God wants to bless us today. He wants to bless us today. And if God's kindness comes your way, say yes. I said yes to the hat. I did wash it after that wearing. It's a little bit itchy. It doesn't fit me. My head's massive. But if you've got a small hat and you want a Ugandan, if you've got a small head, not Joey, it's more like. If you've got a small head and you want a Ugandan bobble hat, speak to me later. God is kind. We read this psalm, Psalm 23, and often we picture David as a 15-year-old. He's full of life, isn't he? He's full of passion. He knows who God is. He knows God has protected him and gone before him. He's got that kind of juvenile faith that we think, yeah, give him 5 years and that'll be beaten out of him. You know what I mean? When somebody becomes a Christian for the first time, lock in the room for 6 months, you know, and then let them out. But we're fairly certain that David writes this psalm when his son Absalom has raised against him and David is on the run and he has nowhere to go and everybody has left him. And yet he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yet he says, God is kind. Yet he says, I might be in the middle of the valley, but my God has not deserted me. The good shepherd is kind. The good shepherd gives good things. I lack nothing. Incredible, isn't it? I lack nothing. Lots of us lack stuff, don't we? There's lots of, you know, somebody said to me recently, I bet, you know, being a pastor, I bet you've never gone without. Are you mental? Gone without hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. Gone without flash holidays. Gone without an amazing car. Gone without all sorts of stuff. But has my life been fabulous? I'm not ready to die, just in case you're wondering. But has it? Yes, it has. Has God provided in incredible ways for me and my family? Yes, he has. Because I lack nothing. You know, it's easy to get swamped by the stuff of our society. But actually, boil it down. What have I got? I've got a lot. Why? Because God is for me. He's following me. He's going before me. He's following you and he's going before you. He's omnipotent. You see, he can do both those things at the same time. And he's saying, come on, you lack nothing. The Lord is your shepherd. You have everything. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need. God is amazing. In this passage, he brings us peace. In this passage, he promises us this presence of God that we need every day for our lives. The Lord brings peace. He promises to restore your soul, which tells us something, doesn't it? Our souls need restoring. Because you go out into the world, don't you? You go to work or home. You face all trials and of many kinds, as James says it. Our souls need restoring. So I'm such a believer in Sunday morning church, that we come and we meet together and we worship together and we talk with each other and we pray for each other. What does that do? It restores your soul. Because Monday morning, I'm not going to be with you lot. I'm going to be with other people and I need my soul to be in a good place. He restores my soul. How is your soul? My time is almost up. But you might just want to have a think about that later. How is my soul and what do I need to do to restore it? If you don't have time in your week where you give that time to God, start doing that. Just give him 10 minutes to start. Sit somewhere quiet, sit in your car, get home from work, stay in the car for 10 more minutes. Or first in the morning, get up a bit earlier. Depends how your brain works. God, I want to meet with you. Will you speak to me? We have the God that speaks. Do you know that? We have the God that speaks. Are we listening? I want my soul to be alive. Will you speak to me, Lord, today? The Good Shepherd brings his peace. And the Good Shepherd brings his protection. Your rod and your staff. Brilliant. One of them is stopping us going where we want to go. The crook thing. The British Shepherd. They push the sheep out of the way. Don't go that way. Where have you been going that God wants you to stop going? What direction have you been going in where the Lord is saying, stop going in that direction? You need to pull back from that. The Good Shepherd says, hey, here is the way, walk in it. Stop going your own way. Go my way, says Yahweh. And the other thing is a big stick to hit people with. I love that, don't you? My God's got a big stick. Isn't that good? Perhaps you don't agree. I don't know, perhaps you think God's like, you know, anybody does something bad to you, the Lord just ignores it. I don't believe he does. I think you have to be very, very careful breaking into the house of the Lord's anointed. I tell you, I think those guys, thankfully that Ollie and Tammy practice forgiveness, I would say. They might never see them, but you have to be very careful. Because our God's got a big stick. And he's whacking people. You know, you might not see it. You might not see it, but the protection of God is there for his people. He's saying, be careful where you walk. Be careful where you walk. I will guide you. Be careful where you go. But where you go, where I am, I will protect you. The Good Shepherd brings protection. The Good Shepherd, my sheep know my voice.